Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, everybody. This is On the Real with Dr. Deb. And today, my topic is, now can we talk about racism in America? Yes. There is no denying that we have been avoiding this conversation in every way possible. And it's as disappointed as I am that a black man had to kill some police officers, some white police officers, to get your attention. I cannot lie and say that I didn't expect it, because I did. I expected somebody to do something radical to get everybody's attention. I haven't spoken to a white person about this. Of course, me and several black people have talked about it. And most of us, many of us, agree that something had to happen. And that's unfortunate, because we've been saying more than a few times, over and over, in so many marches, and hoodies, and signs, that this is something that has got to stop, and we have got to stop pretending that we're living in a post-racial society, because we live it every day. We know we're not. So now, and I've heard, you know, different people say, you know, there are white people that say all lives matter. Well, we know that clearly. By the half, the flags that are flying at half mast, and the interruption of shows, or the extra, or, you know, presentations of and donations to Dallas stuff. If that does not prove to you that there is a difference between one life and another, I don't know what is, or the way we treat these lives. And so, having said all that, I want to just say, okay, I think you're at the kitchen table now. I've been inviting you to the kitchen table for several weeks now. But I think you're sitting there. I think we're all there now. And now that we're at the table, we cannot go silent. We cannot not talk. We cannot just sit there at the table as if there is not something real to talk about. You know, reminds me, I told you my children were younger, every Friday we would have these family discussions. And the older my kids got, the less they got into these discussions. And they would sit there like, when is this going to be over? Well, you're not children. You're not budding teenagers who just want to go out with their friends. You're at a different place in your life, and you see. I'm hoping that you see that it hurts just as much for a black mother or sister or brother or father to lose their son or child or sister or daughter, as it did for those of you who lost your dads and brothers on last week. Hurts just as much. These were all racially motivated incidences, and we can't pretend that they weren't. So, with that said, I have said, now can we talk about it? But this is how you do it, and I want to spend the rest of my time today inviting you to start this conversation now that you're at the table. You work with black and white people, okay? You go to church, some of you, with black people and white people. You live next door, some of you, to black people and white people. You may even play on some team sports with people who are black or white. These are opportunities, and this goes not only for the individuals that are in these places, for the leaders in this place. This is an opportunity for you to have the kind of conversation that I've been inviting you to have. We cannot, it's not, let me just say this, it is not going to end if you don't. You will be right back here, right where you are right now, trying to figure out how you're going to just come clean about what's going on in this country where race is concerned. Now, we know it's deeper than the things that I'm just saying. It's politically deep. It is historically deep. It is financially deep. It is this racism, this systematic and systemic racism is deeper than what I'm saying, but it starts with you. When you go, I talked to more than a few people, who were saying they didn't have much to, these are black people, didn't have much to say at work the next day because they knew that they were not going to respond in a way that was going to help things. So this is how you do it. It requires a certain openness. And let me just start with the black people. I know a lot of you, especially in Dallas, you know, you have lots of Christian beliefs, and you are torn between how do you have a heart for these white men who died, knowing that you have a heart for these black people who have died at the hands of police officers. So you're torn, and I get that. But do not, in all your Jesus talk and all your faith and church going, do not lose sight of what is happening. Do not lose sight of that. It is still wrong that the black people died the way they did. And so while you come to the table with Jesus in your Bible, come to the table with an understanding of the entire Bible. You know, murder is wrong. Lying is wrong. Yeah, I know you grew up, some of you hearing your grandmother saying it's just as much a lie to live one or act one as it is to tell one. So sin is sin. So don't lose sight of that while you're trying to appease the white people in your community. Make them own up to what has just happened. Don't you do all the work, because now is an opportunity for them to live up to what they say they believe. And they are scared to death, first of all, because they know this is a response to the murders that have taken place since 2012, since Trayvon, and even before that. But this is in our time. So allow them. Don't say a word. Allow them to say what they have to say. And then as you listen, sift through the fear, sift through the vulnerability, because this is hard work. But don't make it hard for them to speak up. It's hard enough. So listen openly. You can be praying while you're listening. And then you might not even want to respond right now, because, first of all, you don't want to undo any apologies, and yes, apologies, because in their minds, they have not been sensitive to the black lives that have died, the black lives that have been taken, rather, since 2012. They have not been sensitive to that. So you be quiet and let them tell you honestly what's going on with them. Now, white people, you got to come real. You have to assess your heart and your mind, your spirit. You have to just be honest with yourself. You have not given all the Trayvon marching and all of the James and the Alton, you have not given these people the kind of respect and consideration, their families, as they have deserved. Because honestly, you live in a world where being white is good and right, and, you know, these people must have been doing something to deserve this. Even though you see the videos, you're still thinking they had to do something because a police officer just would not unload his gun or shoot someone in the back for no reason at all. So you've justified this. So my invitation to you is to search yourself. What do you really think? What had you done to contribute to these ideas that these people must have been doing something wrong to get in trouble with the law? And then past that, your ideas about black people, you know, we all know what the media tells us about us. We have to deal with it too. And some of us are just as guilty as you for what we think about us. But this is an opportunity for you to stop lying to yourself about who you are and who we are and how just this country is, and just allow yourself to just see it for what it is. It's wrong. It is wrong. Now you see how it feels to lose somebody that you love. Yes. Leaders, black, white, wherever you are, church leaders, that's a whole nother story. I don't know what sermons were about yesterday, but I wonder, is there a difference in the way white preachers are talking to the people than what they had before this happened? And not just, you know, sending your prayers out and baking pies and taking it to the families, not that crap, because that is not going to change the racial climate in our country. Preachers, white preachers, you need to speak up and talk about what's wrong. And if you can't, if what I just said to just an average white Joe, if you can't tell that applies to you, we have a much bigger problem than what I imagined. I am assuming that your decision to be a preacher or your being called to be a preacher has some bearing on your ability to be just, your ability to show the kind of radical love that the Christ, and since this is a Christian nation, I use that relationship, that religion. At work, your people, the black people at work, leaders, they are whispering to each other. White people, I know you're doing the same thing. This is a time for everybody to come to the same table and have those same conversations and have somebody who is capable of facilitating that conversation so that everybody gets heard. This is Dr. Deborah, Dr. D. On the real, it is a sad thing that we had to, that a black man who served his country had to come and take the lives of men who probably he could have easily have either served under or served with, take their lives to get the attention of the rest of this country about black lives. And he said black lives matter. And then he proved it. And then you proved that he was right. So my daughter asked me, did I think that this man think that he had nothing to live for? And I say, he found something worth dying for. And I have concluded that this is something worth dying for, because life as we know it will not change until we decide that truly all lives matter, not white lives matter in conjunction or as well as black lives, but all of them matter. Come to the table, family. Have the right conversation. Dr. Deborah at drdeborahnixon.com. Contact me if you need somebody to facilitate the conversation, because I am open to that. Dr. Deborah at drdeborahnixon.com. Email me. Contact me. Let me help you have this conversation. It's been real. Until next time, see you at the kitchen table.